Richard Deswatt of the University of East Anglia speaking on the limitations of the search ontology for history.
I'm going to talk about, I've been asked to talk about a search ontology and give some indications of its challenges and its limitations. I wasn't quite sure, well, in some ways I had a guess why I was asked, but let me briefly explain. I worked on a project, and I'll say a bit more about that, that developed a history ontology. And I think that was the reason I was specifically asked, although I'm quite sure I'm not here just to talk about that project that I worked on. I will, however, make some references back to that ontology that I created, Eve, to draw some broader conclusions and highlight important issues. Right. What I'm going to do this morning, since I wasn't quite sure of the audience, and I'm trying to touch on all kinds of bases here. So certain things, for some people, some of the things I'm going to say will be rather perhaps old hat, and they will know that. For other people, it will be very new. So just a quick little introduction followed by a bit of definition, a bit of defining what an ontology is, and then looking at some of particular examples of challenges and limitations. First of all, a bit of background. The project that I worked on was called the Vicode Project, which was an EU fifth framework funded project that was developing what's called a semantic web application. And that semantic web application was designed to provide a search tool that would identify documents via SVG maps or integrated historical maps on the one hand, and then also searching for key terms. And in order to create that semantic web application, we had to create an ontology. And I will define what an ontology is precisely in a minute here. This is very much an emerging field, I think, for historians. I certainly, when I started on this project, my background is not in computing. It is in history. I was looking at my proper historical area of interest is European integration history. And I came into this just because I was on the scene at the time and they needed someone to do it. And I was interested. So my background is very much as an historian, not as a computer specialist, and I engaged in a very steep learning curve over the last few years in this regard. In terms of an emerging field, I think it's very much an emerging field of historians. There have been a few limited historical ontologies that have been created, and some are beginning to be created now, and people are beginning to move into that area. So it is an emerging field and should be an interesting one. Having said that, I do think, and I think this very strongly, that there is still very much a lack of agreed standards and best practice models. And I think those are needed, and certainly will be needed if ontologies are to develop into a useful tool and application. Right. Just a little bit then on what is an ontology, and I'll run through what I've got. There's five basic areas. In each of those points, there are some limitations and indeed problems. Perhaps if we can turn around and look at positively. Challenges. First of all, well, there are a number of definitions of what an ontology is. Essentially, I think, if I'm not being too crude about it, it's a variant of a taxonomy. Okay, so it's a hierarchical list of a set, subset, concepts, and subconcepts with relationships between the potentially between the concepts and the various historical terms or instances that are held within those concepts. Perhaps one of the best definitions that is out there is one, I think, by Gruber, which, a bit of a mouthful there, an explicit specification of a shared conceptualization. Let me unpack that for you all, because I don't think that gives a lot of meaning to many of you. What's the specification going to include? Well, I think there's four key things. First of all, it's a formal concept hierarchy, okay? So you have formal concepts in a set-subset structure. And I give the example there, that you might have an overall concept event followed by conflict and then a subset of war. However, and I think that's important because to recognize each things have to be a clear subset of what is above. So you can't have event or battle because not all battles are wars. So you can, that is a very rigid structure and you have to get that perfectly right, and everything has to fit within each other, otherwise the ontology won't work. So you need to have a formal concept hierarchy, set, subset. And that can go as deep as you like or be as shallow as you like. In the bicordial ontology, we kept it to three levels at most, and sometimes only just two levels. You also need to have formally defined relationships between potentially terms. So you have relationships that can describe, or property relationships such as that up there has role, can describe a connection between two terms. And that allows you to map or indicate that there is a connection between those. For example, Charles I and the role of king. And that allows you, via the ontology, to make connections between Charles I and the king. You also then need to have specific instances, historical terms, whether they be events, like the Industrial Revolution, objects, such as Westminster Abbey, or indeed concepts, such as Marxism. You could even include historiography in there if you so choose. And all of these have to be encoded in a machine-understandable format, something in which a machine can read and process. Okay, now just let me step back and give you an idea of really what an ontology is trying to do. And essentially, I think one can sum it up, it's trying to map connections. It's trying to make connections so that a system, an application, can find links that aren't necessarily explicit. So what I've got there, the first one is Winston Churchill with his famous Iron Curtain speech in the Cold War. What you don't necessarily get if you're doing a simple search or keyword search, if you're looking for if you look at the Winston Churchill Iron Curtain speech, there'll be no mention of the Cold War in that speech. But of course, if you're trying to find that, the Cold War is a key concept within that. And an ontology allows you, and this is an advantage over perhaps just simple keyword searching, to make that link. Because that link isn't going to be explicit in the document, and an ontology will be able to map that and to bring it out. So one other way, of course, in which most documents do that is Cold War would be perhaps in the metadata, in the certain tags that you would put, XML tags that you put on top of a document, that it would indicate various search terms, so a search engine or go through and would find perhaps Cold War. So you don't need to have metadata. It's a way of getting on it. And the actual terms themselves don't necessarily need to be in the text for the application to find the document. That's the theory of it. That's the purpose of it, and if it can work, that would be the advantages of it. Some potential, I had a previous slide, but unfortunately that deleted on me. Some of the potential applications in which ontologies are being used. First of all, I've indicated the Vicodi project that I worked on, where you have semantic applications, and I'll just run you through this quickly. You've got an interface here, which is essentially a search engine. You've got maps and a box with text, and what this semantic application based on the ontology we created allows you to do is then to search either via historical maps and then pull up appropriate text, or indeed keyword searches, and then it will give you links of various other appropriate documents to the search terms that you're looking for. So you could potentially use it for semantic applications, which in this case was very much for the web, the pulling up documents from the web. You could also potentially use it for certain kind of databases, particularly primary sources, maybe a historical census, and potentially even in terms of the grid technology, where you have various databases from different institutions connecting together. And an ontology could be a potential way of making links and allowing those links for greater and better search results. Okay, moving on from specifically what an ontology is, what about some potential sources if you wanted to build one? And I think this is one of the problematic areas, certainly that we found in the Vicodi project, was getting the basic information, getting the historical terms and those connections there, rather than just doing it manually. So potentially it would be things like digitized databases, glossaries, gazetteers, various existing thesauri such as the Getty, or other existing ontologies. However, I suppose the summation of all of that in terms of the sources is that none of those are complete. And we quickly found that one of the big problems in terms of building ontology is actually putting in, filling the ontology, populating the ontology with the various instances and mapping those kind of connections, because you need to do that. And that is very difficult and very time consuming. And I'll come back to the specifics of that in a few minutes. So moving on from sources, if there are easy sources to use, which there aren't at present, to a bit about a structure. And I've indicated there has to be a formal structure with that concept hierarchy, which could either be shallow or deep, and you do need to have all of those instances, specific historical terms. And in conjunction, you need property relations to map the connections and the complexity therein. A few little words about the Vicode ontology, just to give you some kind of a comparator. This was considered to be a relatively large ontology. It covered certainly a very wide span of history, not by my choice. In theory, that was defined by the initial project, which I wasn't involved in, to the EU to make it sell to get the money, covered the period 500 to the present, in theory. Of course, in reality, an ontology to cover that area of European history in a comprehensive form would be massive and would take many, many years, if indeed it was at all possible. Now, it's considered the Vicode ontology to be a relatively large ontology. It has 15,000 direct instances, so 15,000 historical terms, if you will, and from those you can abstract out about 100,000 indirect instances. Now, as I think you could fairly easily understand, is a large number of terms. And it was a large number of terms in our case because most of those were manually generated. We created those manually, inputted them manually into the ontology. And that is extremely time consuming. However, that 15,000 instances, if you just think of 15,000 historical figures for 1,500 years of history, that's not a lot. So back when I say that theoretically, it very much hones in on certain key points, the Vicode ontology, and barely only scratches the surface in terms of mapping instances and relations between those instances. The Vicode ontology has seven core concepts, which I'll show you in a second, and a limited number of property relations to connect those concepts and the various terms. The next two slides will just give you a graphical, the web indication of the concept structure and then an instance. The yellow here are the various core, the seven various core concepts that we had: event, location, abstract notion, individual, object, organization, social group. Green here are some of the various property relations: exist, has role, etc. This is going to give you an example of an instance, in this case Napoleon Bonaparte, and a very simplified one, but it allows you to get a quick grasp of, so you can have Napoleon Bonaparte exist. Napoleon Bonaparte, this in fact is only an abbreviation of a title, in his role as emperor from 1804 to 1814. There is a separate one for 1815, in his second guy as the emperor. Let me just say a couple words about the tools that are available and one can use to build an ontology. So I think this is relatively important, and I think you could quickly realize you do need to have a certain amount of expertise, computing expertise, or be able to learn that to develop and input the information needed into an ontology editor. There are various types out. Protégé is probably the most common one. The system that we used in the Vicode project was the K-On ontology editor. It's a visual editor. It's relatively easy as ontology editors go to use. But nonetheless, it certainly requires a certain amount of technical expertise. And this image here will give you an indication of, to a degree, some of the complexity there. We've got a list of various terms within the ontology. You do have one of the advantages of the Kaon system is that it gives you that graphical window where you can then see various links between concepts and instances, etc. And basically, you will need to input, if you're doing it manually anyways, input each of these terms individually, highlighting then any potential synonyms, labels, etc. I think you can quickly realize how time-consuming that really can be, and certainly was in the right coding point. I think we probably spent a good 2 man-years, at least, on developing those 15,000 direct instances. Okay. Just a few things in terms of the summation. I think there are, within all of the points that I've just briefly run through, a number of challenges in the above in terms of its purpose, in terms of the sources that are presently available to build one quickly, in terms of the structures, and indeed in terms of the existing tools as well. Now let me move on. Have I got about... Okay, right, well then I'll be very quickly run through some particular instances or challenges within history, and I'm just going to highlight these given the limited time I've got left. Certainly in our ontology, everything had to, because the importance of time within history and interpreting, I mean, history is essentially about interpreting change over time and explaining that. All the concepts and everything else had to be related to time. Relatively straightforward, you can have exist property, so you can give a time frame for most terms, relatively straightforward. In this case, the lifespan of Napoleon was in relation to his exist property. There are, however, numerous problems I think we can all think of where history and dating is not exactly that precise or that clear. Uncertain dates, disagreed, Stalin's birth date, is it 1878, 1879? Debated dates, quite common, quite very important, of course, in history. When does the Russian Revolution start? Does it start in the October? Does it start in the February Revolution? Or does it indeed go back to earlier to 1905, as some historians would perhaps want to argue? Middle Ages, again, amorphous, unclear, when does it begin? Some might want to argue or early 5th, 6th century, as late perhaps as the 15th century. And historians disagree within that. How then do you map that? How do you ensure, because an ontology requires precision. Computing languages require the precision. I won't say anything about, there is potential technical solutions to that, but I won't say that about that now. Same thing in terms of changing names and relations of properties. Strasbourg changes the countries in which it is related, sometimes perhaps France, sometimes Germany. You need to model that, map that. Indeed, then you also get problems with changing names, of course, of cities. Very typical, but you need to make sure the ontology of the computer language understands that. You also can have difficulties, and we certainly had difficulties, in terms of social categorization. How do you get that concept structure in things like in class? You may perhaps have wanted to have very straightforward lower class, middle class, upper class, but then you might get particular difficulties. Do you fit various terms like that are not exactly the same, yeoman, freeman, gentleman, that have links and that have relationships between them? How do you model that? How do you map that? We came up with a very crude solution of just having a related property, not defining what that relationship was, not being precise about it, but just indicating that there is some kind of a connection. And a search ontology then can at least link the two together, even if it can't give you precision definition. Similarly, with perhaps more interpretive kind of concepts, Marxism, Industrial Revolution, Enlightenment, which are not as precisely defined, which can consists of various aspects. They can be both an event, an idea, and have had various influence. Difficulties in how do you model that? How do you group that? Which concepts do you put those in? Let me just run through then a brief little summation. So temporality, the creation of time and mapping time in history, relatively straightforward perhaps for a lot of things, but can be problematic. Uncertainty and subjectivity, the nature, I suppose, of history in many ways, difficult to model in a computing system, in an ontology. Then you've got the question of, which I haven't really touched on, the level of detail and the complexity. How much detail, how much complexity do you want to map in an ontology? And that is a really a core question, because that relates to how much time you have and in terms of what goal you want to do. Do you need to show the connections, the precision connection, or can you get by with just having a related link? Overall, it's been to build an ontology is an incredibly time-consuming process, and indeed one must question whether it is worth the effort and the cost.